Hello, welcome to Locked on Sharks, the premier hockey podcast of your favorite team in the Bay Area. And on today's episode, we're going to have one last peek into free agency, look at some realistic options for the Sharks as they go coupon shopping with free agency set to start at 9 a.m. Wednesday morning. So all that and more on today's episode of Locked on Sharks.
You're Locked on Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm your host, JD Young, a contributor at Fear the Fin and San Jose Hockey Now. And I want to thank you guys for making us your first listen. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. Before we get into today's news and stuff, just a little kind of, you know, they say celebrate your accomplishments. And if you guys kind of maybe new to Locked On or whatever, so Locked On, of course, we have your show every day covering all the teams, et cetera, et cetera. And every week, we have a podcast of the week, and we at Locked On Sharks had never won the podcast of the week until now. So thank you guys for helping me win podcast of the week. I know the show, it's a lot different than when Kyle and I did it. And I know, you know, some of you guys don't like the way the show has evolved and stuff, but you know, it's hard to do that type of show by yourself. And I feel proud of the direction I've taken the show. And I just want to thank you guys for who've been there since day one and kind of following us and, you know, following me and my work. And again, thank you guys. You have no idea how much it means to me. So, and to the haters, sorry guys. But let's get into it. So we've got, of course, the big news, Rudolf Balcer's bought out. So we all found out, you know, early morning, Tuesday morning, that he was bought out. So he had 1 year left on his deal, $1.5 million. The Sharks buy him out to save some cap space. So they basically save $1.5 million this year, and on their cap next year is $308,000. So a pretty small hit in next year in the grand scheme of things. I mean, that's less than half of a minimum contract. And I think this, we continue to see Mike Greer making his impression on the team, you know, not giving Dahlin a qualifying offer and, you know, moving on from Balcer's. And, you know, it's something that we as fans, we're going to have to kind of, you know, these kind of fan favorite players. And, you know, Rudy was definitely a fan favorite on the podcast here between Kyle and I. But, you know, you can't get too attached to some of these guys. And I think that's, we, myself included, we put a lot of value and stock in these guys that are kind of, you know, third line guys or, you know, maybe fringe NHL guys and stuff. And, you know, unfortunately that's part of, especially with a new GM and new regime coming in, and they want to find their guys that play their style of hockey. So, you know, I think Balcer's will definitely be re-signed. I don't think he can be claimed. And if a team claims him, they'll just pick up his contract and the Sharks will have no hit next year. But I mean, you know, a team can easily just re-sign him to probably a lesser deal next year. And, you know, when free agency starts. So the best of luck to one last time, Rudy. So please, Mike Greer, stop killing all of my favorite bits, my favorite Twitter bits. So RIP to the Rudy gif every time he scored. Actually was one of my favorite ones. So but let's get into free agency. And so what I did is, you know, we know the Sharks don't have a ton of cap space. If I'm looking at my phone, it's because I do have notifications. So in case anything crazy happens, and it looks like Venny Malkin was just re-signed. So there's one name off the market. So he's going back to Pittsburgh at 4 years, $6.1 million. So anyway. we're getting into free agency here. I wanted to look at realistic options because it'd be fun to, you know, Johnny Gaudreau or, you know, whoever, you know, Cop, who the Sharks just can't afford. I was trying to get guys who are kind of in that $2 to $3 million range, where if they maybe, you know, move a contract here, or, you know, if they dump Redeem Schimmick or whoever, and if they're able to move a contract, that they could actually realistically sign these guys to the year. So I started actually on the blue line because we haven't really spent much time talking about the defense. The Sharks, their left side of the defense, you feel is pretty set-ish. I mean, there'll be competition, but you know, you think it's going to be some, you know, Mario Ferraro. You've got Redeem Schimmick, probably not going to be there. You have Vlasic, you have Megna, and then you have Knyazhov coming back from, if he can come back from injury. So you kind of feel pretty solid about that. And then in the pipeline, you have Dick Cicek, Knyazhov, sorry, got to, you know, Knyazhov, Knyazhov, they cannot play at the same time. And then Santeri Hadika. So all those are left-handed defensemen. You know, Hadika is going to be playing on the CUDA. Most, you know, should be playing on the CUDA. Cicek, dark horse to maybe make the Sharks. We'll see. You know, Knyazhov, like some of these guys are going to be playing on the CUDA next year and trying to continue to develop a game. But the left side's really pretty set. The right side, right now, we have Brent Burns, Erik Karlsson, Ryan Merkley, and then that's about it. And we know Schimmick has played on his offside. Vlasic has played on his offside as well. But it'd be nice to get someone who could actually play right-handed defense, just in case when Erik Karlsson loses, you know, misses some time, or if Brent Burns is traded, or if Ryan Merkley needs to go back to the AHL. So I started there, looked for right-handed defensive shots, guys who can kind of play some, you know, some meaningful minutes if necessary. But, you know, these are guys are going to be more of your bottom pair type of guys. You know, so not going to contribute a lot offensively. Dakota does not like this idea of not contributing a lot offensively, but unfortunately, when you're coupon shopping, you have to kind of go with as is. So if you're watching on YouTube, I've made some nice little graphics. I've included average time on ice because I wanted to talk about what that actually means. So, you know, nice website I found, Hockey Answer, where they kind of answer your one, you know, basic type of questions. You know, it's good to kind of go back and get a refresh on some stuff, but they broke down average ice time per line. So if you're a first line forward, you average about 19-20, you know, and this is going to be skewed when you have your McDavids who play a ton of minutes, et cetera, et cetera. But we'll just say 19 minutes. So every night you're going to average about 19 minutes of time on ice. This is all situations, right? Your second line forwards are going to average about 16 and a half. Your third line forwards about 13 and a half, and your fourth line forwards about 12 and a half. And then your first pairing defensemen, so they're going to average about a little over 23 minutes. Nice. Again, your Brent Burns skew that a little bit. Your second pairing defensemen are going to average about 20 minutes. And then your third pairing defensemen are going to average about 18. So this will help us determine what type of role these players were in before. So if they were, you know, second line or third line forwards, or if they were second or third pairing defensemen, that way we can kind of see how they were utilized before. That way we're not asking them to do something completely. Like if you're having a guy play 16 minutes, then you want him to be a first line defenseman and playing 25 minutes, that's probably not going to extrapolate as well. So, but before we get into that, let's go ahead and take a quick break. Talk to you guys about our friends over at Bet Online. You guys know BetOnline, the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, including league reviews and news. You have Major League Baseball going on right now. NFL starts next month, which I can't believe it's already here. You can bet on Summer League right now. If you're a degenerate, please go do so. Summer League's super fun. You know, NFL futures, you've got NHL futures are starting to come out. anything under the sun. BetOnline's got you covered for your all your sports wagering needs. And of course, they have MMA, boxing, and golf. So head to their website today. Use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Okay, if you're watching on YouTube now, so I'm going to have some nice little graphics. So I went just alphabetically because I didn't want to try to say I wanted one guy more than another. But so with these guys, I've got some of their stats, their projected contracts from Evolving Hockey, which is pretty solid with their contracts. And then I pulled up some of their fancy stats as well from Evolving Hockey as well. So we'll start with Calgary Flames. So again, we're going to do defensemen their first segment, and then we'll look at the forwards at the end of the show. So I have four defensemen, four forwards, all of who I think can kind of fit into what the Sharks are looking for. So let's go ahead and start with Calgary Flames defenseman Eric Gudbranson. So last year, he played 78 games, had 17 points, played 1808 time on ice. So that's going to put him right in that third pairing role with him. So kind of, you know, which is, again, kind of what the Sharks are looking for. So he's a projected a three-year, a little over $3 million contract. So he is just turned 30. He just turned 30 at the beginning of the year. Spent last year with Calgary. Then he's played in Nashville, Ottawa, and he's bounced around a lot. So this will be his, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 team he signs with this year. So, you know, definitely has bounced around a lot. He's not going to provide a ton of offense. This was his career high this year with 6 goals. You know, but points wise, even this year was his career high in points with 17. So it's not like he's not providing you a ton of offense. But if you're looking for a guy who can be a pretty solid defensive guy, so kind of middle of the pack here when it comes to, you know, if you're looking at his kind of his stats. So played 7 power play minutes. So again, he's not with Carlson, Merkley, Burns. You don't have to worry about him playing on the power play. Can easily play your PK, played a ton of PK minutes last year, 222 PK minutes. You know, like I said, even strength was just under that second pairing defenseman. So he's kind of middle of the road type of guy. Does help provide offense though, like help drives play. His defense was kind of replacement level. So he was at he was 51 percentile replacement level. So again, a guy who's maybe a little bit more expensive, but he's just going to be a solid guy. And he's also, you know, I kind of like to make sure they were, you know, kind of big guys as well too. So yes, first one down. Next, Ilya Labushkin. So he played last year, was on the Maple Leafs. He also played with the Coyotes before. 6'2", 210 pounds. He is just turned 28 in April. Again, not much in the offensive zone. Had 2 goals, 13 assists, 15 points in 77 games last year. 17-27 time on ice. You know, this was definitely his best year offensively, where he went from like 4-4-2, but playing a full, this was his first really like full season. Had 15 points. Had a pretty, you know, pretty solid playoffs as well. Played 7 games, had a point in there as well, but did see his time on ice go down to under 14 minutes, which is expected when you're, you know, in the playoffs. So we know stars, big names are going to play in the playoffs, and some of these guys are going to play less. So, but again, not going to provide you much offense. Was right under that kind of D2 pairing, at least with his time on ice during the regular season. Didn't really play, not going to do much for you on the power play. Again, you don't need to worry about him. Can play a ton of shorthanded. Played shorthanded, but it wasn't like, looks like he wasn't super effective, was in the red in there. But defensively, 89th percentile defenseman. So if you want that kind of nice, a guy who can kind of go out there, he's not going to give you much offensively, but he's going to play well in his own zone. Labushkin, not a bad bet there, and especially too with his contract, where he is only projected to make a 1 year, like $800,000 contract. So you can sign him on the cheap. If he plays well, you know, for 1 year, you can flip him at the deadline to try to get some assets back, or you can, you know, maybe re-sign him, especially since he's only 28. So he's got a couple more years where you have to worry about him. So again, he isn't going to cost you very much. Next guy, Colin Miller, played 38 games, has 16 points with the Buffalo Sabres, 6 foot, 199 pounds. He will turn 29, or he will be turning 30, sorry, at the beginning of this season. 2 goals, 12 assists, 14 points. Dealt with injuries at the beginning of the year, and I think that really derailed his season. I know he had surgery at some point, and then he had COVID, and I don't think he really kind of got his season back together. You know, he was traded from Vegas to Buffalo a few years ago and during the offseason, and definitely put up more points with Vegas. Again, but Buffalo, we know, has not been a great team the past couple of years. Not that the Sharks have anything to, you know, really kind of compare with them there, but he might be a guy where you could kind of buy low. You know, coming off an injury, let him kind of rehabilitate his, you know, reputation. And then if he plays well, again, look to flip him or, again, do whatever with him. So projected contract, 1 year, little under $2 million. So 1.75 or 1.76 million. Again, offensively, so he was playing over that – you know, even he was playing over that kind of that second pairing role for the Sabres when he was actually out there. Can provide a little bit of power play, played kind of on the PK2 again. So he can help drive offense. He's a 52 percentile offense driver. And his defense is a little bit, you know, it's a 42 percentile. It's kind of, it's okay-ish type of situation. So, you know, again, I think for 1.75 million, you could be doing a lot worse there. So, and then the last defenseman, Ruda, played 76 games with the Tampa Bay Lightning, had 18 points for them. And during the, he 3 goals, 15 assists, 6'3", 204 pounds. Plus minus, plus 25, if you care for plus minus. I do not. Plus minus is whatever. Also a former Blackhawk as well, and Lightning. So, and his contract, he's going to be looking at a 3 year, $2.14 million, and will also be turning, what's his age? Sorry, I lost his age. He's going to be turning 32 here in a couple days. So a little bit on the older side of these guys, but you know, is still a pretty effective player, though. Drove offense, he kind of, again, was playing right under that defensive two pairing minutes, played like zero power play, which is to be expected when you have like Victor Hedman on your team. And then play kind of that PK two as well. It was pretty positive. You know, it was above, he was okay. So, but definitely can drive offense for you. You know, had a goals above replacement, close to 9 goals above replacement last year. And, you know, his defensive stats were, even strength defensive stats were pretty solid as well, where, you know, he saved basically almost 4 goals above replacement. So a little bit older guy. So you don't know if maybe the cliff is coming at some point with him. But again, with a contract of, you know, 2-3 is at 2.4. The third year, I'd be a little worrisome. So maybe you can get him at like the, you know, a 2 year deal, which would put him at around like one, if the Shark, according to cap or to Evolving Hockey, a 2-year deal would be like 1.5 or 1.6 million, which I'd be like, that's fine. And then you've got 2 years of him. So before we continue our look at some of these potential free agents, let's go ahead and take a quick break. Talk to you guys about our friends over at rockauto.com. Nothing worse than having to go get a part for your vehicle. You go to, you know, your local auto parts store, you go to the dealership, and you ask what type of part, you know, they ask what type of car you have, and they only have one version of the part. You don't have to worry about that with rockauto.com, because you have a computer in your pocket or right in front of you at home. You save time and money when using Rock Auto. So why spend it to 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? RockAuto.com is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. They have reliable low prices for every customer. So go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solutions for your auto part needs. And when you do, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box. That way they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliable low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, let's continue by looking at the forwards now. So we have Forever Shark Mattias Janmark. He, of course, Sharks kind of did some dirty laundry there to take on his contract when he got traded to the Vegas Golden Knights. He is 29 right now, going to be 30 in December. 6 foot 195 pounds, had 9 goals, 16 assists for 25 points with the Golden Knights last year. Also famously scored a hat trick in the playoffs the year before. So 14-21 time on ice, that kind of puts him in that third line role. And he's projected to make a 2 years, a little under $2 million contract. So not the worst contract in the world. Kind of fits in that same Bolsers, Dahlin, kind of at least money-wise. But yes, so his kind of fancy stats, not that great, to be honest. So again, he was playing kind of forward 2 minute, you know, second line, 14th percentile offense, 37th percentile defense, played a little bit on the power play, played some on the PK, wasn't super effective there. I think this is money that you could spend elsewhere. So, you know, for a player, but again, kind of, he does kind of fit what I think what the Sharks are kind of looking for. So, but I will kind of pass on him. So, Mason Marchment. So he's really interesting just because you don't know if, you know, especially with the unfortunate news of his dad, I don't know, of being just in the Sharks building every day might be tough for him. But again, it might be coming home for him too, where he grew up, you know, around the SAP and, you know, around the Sharks facility. So who knows? That's just a whole different situation for him and what he's going to have to go through. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he just, you know, kind of took his time and trying to figure out, but last year played with the Florida Panthers. And also played with the Maple Leafs a few years ago as well. 6'4", 209 pounds. Was again one of the kind of came up in the Maple Leaf system, but last year was kind of his first full season. 18 goals, 29 assists for 47 points on that regular season juggernaut Panthers team. And then his time on ice was at 14:07. So it's, you know, definitely, of course, wasn't going to be playing over some of the guys that they have. So, but I think when given an opportunity, he definitely made the most of it. So it'll be interesting though, if he's not playing with the same quality of players that he'll be playing with the Panthers, if he'd be able to kind of continue to keep up his offensive production. But projected a 3-year, $2.46 million contracts, and he's actually kind of sneaky older than, or no, sorry, I'm looking at the wrong tab. He's actually just turned 27, so he's still got some quality years for him. And then his fantasy stats are very, very nice. So was playing a kind of second line for the Panther, even though his average time on ice wasn't high, he was still playing kind of second line, at least even strength. And, you know, he wasn't playing power play, of course, because you have a bajillion awesome guys on the Panthers who play power play. Didn't provide any, played 2 minutes of PK last year, but even strength though, had over 12 goals above replacement. And was also his expected goal, like drove offense, good defensively. He might be a guy where, and drew penalties, took a couple, but definitely was, you know, really good at drawing penalties as well. He might be a guy where it's maybe worth taking the risk of, you're not going to get the same production out of him playing with the people that were he was surrounded with on the Panthers. But at a 3-year, $2.5 million contract, I think this is a solid type of bet where if it doesn't work out, you didn't spend a ton of money, but if it works out, you could be getting someone at a steal of a price. So we'll see. But and then next guy, Sonny Milano. So Sonny Milano, 66 games, 34 points. He played 15-17 time on ice last year, 6 foot, 204 pounds. With the Ducks, and then also played with the Blue Jackets as well. But kind of dealt with some injuries the past couple of years. This year though, definitely had, you know, was kind of a more consistent player. So it's interesting the Ducks didn't qualify him. I know they have a lot of guys coming up, but it might be the same thing like, you know, we're seeing with the Ducks that we're seeing with the Sharks, where some of these kind of fan favorite guys, they're just not part of what the organization is kind of seeing from them going forward. So can definitely provide some of that secondary scoring that the Sharks are really looking for. And then, you know, when you look at his fancy stats, so again, he was playing that second line kind of minutes, even strength for the Ducks. Basically was on their power play one, not going to give you anything on the penalty kill, but, you know, solid defensively. He's going to help drive offense with the expected goals. He didn't score as many goals as you would expect from what he was doing. But, here's a guy who can help provide some of that secondary offense. And, you know, with the contract that he's projected at of, 3 years at 2.71, and he's only 26. So it's not like he's kind of just hitting his peak right now type of thing. So, he might be worth a shot for the Sharks again. Not going to provide much on he's not going to kill penalties, but he's going to help your power play, which has been bad for the Sharks. And he's going to play solid in his own zone and help drive offense. So, and then I think the last one, probably the best for last, Dylan Strome. Again, one of those really weird that he didn't get qualified. 69 games played, very nice. 48 points for the Blackhawks, 17-26 time on ice. So that puts him, he's pushing that first line. I know at the end of the season, he was playing first line minutes as well. Going to be more expensive. 3 years at $4.6 million, but if you move some contracts and, you know, here's a guy who can play center and help solidify that middle of you have a Hurdle, Strome, Couture as your middle six, I think you're kind of cooking with gas there. So also just turned 25, 6'3", 200 pounds, played with the Coyotes and then with the Blackhawks as well. But last year, 22 goals, 26 assists, 48 points. And then looking at his fancy numbers, that's a lot of offense if you're on the YouTube. So was playing first line minutes, especially at the end of the season when they were kind of hit with injuries. Really helps to drive offense. the defensive zone. He's going to do his best. He's going to, you know, help the power play. Don't ask him to play PK, but you've got Hurdle, you've got Couture, you have Bonino, you have plenty of guys to play on the PK. And again, he's going to be the most expensive of them, but if you can move some money out, if they end up trading Brent Burns, or if they can trade Kevin LeBanc, or if they trade Šimek, or, you know, whatever, if they can move off of one of these contracts, Strom might be a guy where he can really kind of come in and help solidify your middle, and really kind of add. And he's also pretty young too. So as you're adding some of these young pieces, he can still be part of that kind of next wave for the Sharks. So yeah. So sorry, this episode is a little long, my bad. I wanted to talk about, make sure we got plenty of guys to talk about. So, as free agency is officially going to be here, guys. So I'll be around all day. So if the Sharks do anything, you'll definitely hear from me. And then, I'll be back Wednesday night or Thursday to recap whatever the Sharks do or don't do. And talk about, if the Sharks don't do much, we'll talk about some of the fun stuff that happened around the league anyway, because, you know, free agency is really fun. And then, you know, we'll next week start looking at some of the draft class. We'll get into the potential coaches. We'll kind of, you know, now that we'll have some time to breathe, we can kind of dig into some of this stuff a little bit more. I know it's been a little bit hectic. So make sure you guys are following along on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Locked On Sharks. Of course, you can listen wherever you get podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Odyssey. If you haven't, leave a 5-star review for the podcast of the week. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. So YouTube, of course, go ahead and subscribe. I make fancy graphs, so kind of, if you don't want to look at my face, at least the graphs are, and the images are much nicer than my face, or you can see the cool little Legos. I did get a new one this weekend, just for you guys. So yeah, you can check out my Lego Millennium Falcon. And of course, when you're done listening to this, go check out the Locked On NHL podcast, especially now, free agency. They're going to get you covered for all the news, where Johnny Gaudreau is going to go, you know, all the craziness is going to happen. So make sure you guys are going checking that out as soon as you're done with this one. And we'll be back tomorrow to recap free agency. Bye, friends.